You've heard something about my brother, who I mourn and lost at 17 because he had muscular dystrophy. I was 17, he was 20, but one of the things growing up that I was expecting to do was to be a counselor at a Muscular Dystrophy Association camp. So the great thing about the MDA is that they provided everything without cost. We got wheelchairs for free, that big old heavy lift to lift him around once he got to be an adult on his own right and heavy, and he needed to be moved. And then camp. It was a year-long expectation, and he went as long as he could physically attend those. And I remember, as a brother, thinking, I want to go and be a camp counselor. And so I learned all I could about how that works, and I was waiting for the right age. And I don't even remember when that happened. It might have been even after he had passed, but I remember I did everything to be a camp counselor except going to get my physical to do it. And guess what? Because I didn't do that, I didn't get to become a counselor. My own fault. I had an issue. Someday in a private conversation we can talk about that part of my life and those issues that were a part of me. But it shows us that all the preparation, all the information that you can gather about any subject does us no good until we step into it and actually put it into practice. And that's where we're going this week as we continue in our short Advent series called Unvarnished Christmas. Last week and the week before, we talked about woundedness and the promise, the process and the proof and practice of healing. And today, in the subject that God has made abundantly clear is that we need to come near. We need to come near. We can talk about this. We can review the things that we wrestle with in this world or recount the joyful things. But unless we take it a step further and are involved, and that's what God calls us to be, is involved in him personally, not just in his stuff, not just in the world he created or the system, the kingdom of God that is among us here right now, but with him personally, with him, that personal touch of the Christmas season that we feel in the warmth and different songs you hear and different things you see. So that's where we're going today. And if you have a handout, the first blank is came. God came near. In the nativity we're talking about today, which is that this nativity scene depicts that somewhat embellished account because the wise men weren't there at the immediate moment that Jesus was born and all that, but it gets all those characters around. In the nativity, there was a call, and it was actually the fulfillment of a call or making possible taking steps into that call. But he came near, and one of my favorite Christmas scriptures, which isn't a part of the Christmas story, is John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So he came near. He came as near as is possible, and that is by becoming one of us. And that's what we celebrate, as you probably know, at this time of the year. He came near, but number two, God calls us near. He calls us. Matter of fact, he's always been calling us near. Now, one scripture, this is a bonus. It's not there or there. The first time God called was the first time we needed to be called. As you remember, as God created the heavens and the earth and Adam and Eve and all the plants and animals, and it was perfect. And man, I'm waiting to get back to that. I can hardly wait to get back to that. But they were in communion with one another, and God and Adam and Eve walked together, and it's like, dude, I can hardly wait for that. That's just so sweet-sounding, isn't it? But in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve decided God wasn't enough for them, and they did something to try to be equal to him, and in essence take over control of their own life, and that's where sin comes from. That's what sin actually is at its base, every sin, trying to replace God. And in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin, and in the ninth verse of Genesis 3, it says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' because they were hiding when they had full access to God before. And it's important for us to go back that far and realize even open rebellion against the authority of God does not stop him from calling, come near. His call wasn't, "Where are you? I can't find you." It was, "I know you're hiding. Come on out and face the truth." And the truth was, God still called. But we have a couple other scriptures to remind us of that call. Isaiah 55, I love this. This is the first half of verse 1 coupled with the first half of verse 3. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you." Notice that the call is to all. And sometimes the issue is, I don't realize I'm thirsty, because it says, "Come all you who are thirsty." And then he says why it's important, why it's beneficial, that your soul may live. This is not just an eternity thing. This is not just a future. But it's right now that my soul may live. We live, or we can live. And he's intending us to live. And the covenant he makes is everlasting. And the Bible ends with a call. Revelation chapter 22, the second half of verse 17, "Let anyone," here we have it again, "who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." We have this thirsty, this water, this quenching of thirst. There's nothing like it. Coming off of a hay field after a long day of baling, and the farmer coming up with his bucket of water, he dipped right from the spring and he put ice in it too. Whew, that is satisfying. This is the call. God calls us near for life, for refreshing. He always has, and he always will, until there's no more need to call. Just like Adam and Eve didn't need to be called in the beginning in the garden, when we get there with him, we won't need to be called. We'll have it all. We'll see him fully. We'll see him face to face. Man, make you burst if you think about it long enough in a good way. So number three, we look at the call as it is expressed in the nativity or the Christmas scene. And it's interesting, of all the people who could have been called to this intimate event, there were really only two groups of people called: shepherds and the wise men, or magi, depending on what you're used. If you're a video gamer, Magi is real big right now, man. The Magi character and role play and things like that, that's the same concept. So we're going to look at these two groups of people, and we're going to classify them a little bit. It's going to be maybe a little different than you've heard before. So the first, he calls those close by. That's A in your handout. The shepherds, Luke 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Oftentimes, in talking about the Advent and Christmas, the shepherds are depicted as the least and the lost and the despised and the dirty out on the hillside tending sheep. And there's certainly an application for that. But for our purposes, they are the group that was called that were close by. They were just outside of all this in Bethlehem. And the Mishnah, which is the oral law of the Jewish people that carried far beyond this event, and so some experts say this might not be strictly true, but it is said by the writers of the Mishnah, the Jewish oral law that was then written down, that these shepherds were raising sheep for the temple sacrifice in Jerusalem, and that once a year they would drive a certain herd of sheep to the temple area where they would be corralled, and then when that one pure lamb was needed to sacrifice, the daily ones and the holiday ones and the sin committed ones and things like that, quite a hierarchy of sacrifices, it came from these shepherds. They represent to me that God calls to those who already know him, who already know something about him, or already in relationship. They were not only close in geography, but they were close in understanding. They had a knowledge of this whole sacrificial system. And I think the need for us to renew the call we have as people who know Jesus to keep coming nearer, that's really important, because you know how we are. We get just enough, and we feel a little better, and we won't go any farther. We need to go farther. We'll talk about that in just a second. He called this group of shepherds who knew the story of the Jewish people. Of course, they didn't understand what was going on. Nobody really understood what was going on. Not even Mary, who had that intimate conversation with the angel, knew exactly what was going on here. But man, we're the beneficiaries of that. But he also called those far away. That's B, the wise men, the magi. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" The wise men, the three wise guys. We can trace their lineage back to the kingdom of Babylon. And if you've read recently the book of Daniel, and if you haven't, it's short enough to, you know, not take a long time. It just came through in my yearly rotation of reading a week ago, I think. We see the role of these magicians or wise people in the kingdom of Babylon who studied the stars and other, you know, occultic things. It wasn't very godly. They weren't attached to the Jewish people. Actually, it was some of these magi that arranged for Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den, because he was showing them up, having God's wisdom, and they didn't have God's wisdom. There were wise men in Babylon, but they were not wise men in the kingdom of God. Not only were they far geographically from Bethlehem and the Nativity, they were spiritually far away from the truth of what was happening, and yet God called to them to be one of the two groups who would witness this miracle, though their arrival was later than the night that Jesus was born. Their beliefs were pagan beliefs. Astrology, you know, some of the things people have dangling from their rearview mirrors, crystals and like that. Well, they didn't have cars, so they didn't have any place to hang a crystal like that, but they had them and their idols. But God called to them. He calls to us who are close. He calls to us who are far away. He calls to those who were close and got far away. God calls us to come near. Number four, how does God call? Just a couple of, I don't know, examples or categories. A is directly. We see that in the call of the shepherds in Luke 2, 9 through 11. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Anybody hear Linus speaking here? But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That's a direct, like, God is calling you. Here's something going on, and I want you to go and be a part of it. I want you to see it. And I want to kind of widen this concept of direct communication from God, because obviously this voice connection with God is pretty rare. I don't know if any of you have heard the voice of God. I heard his voice one time. And it wasn't because it was cool. It was because I was acting like a knucklehead. And he whispered my name twice. And when I finally realized it wasn't somebody in the crowded stadium at a Promise Keepers clergy convention where I was being a knucklehead, right? Because we can all be knuckleheads at any time. It broke me. But it's rare to hear that. But so we sometimes say, "Oh, I wish God would just tell us." He does communicate with us and call to us in direct ways that sometimes we don't call direct. This is the biggest direct way he talks to us. He wrote us this. Yeah, he used people holding pens, or I don't know how they chiseled, or on, we know how they did it. It wasn't chiseling anyway. But it is his word. He speaks clearly. And do you want to hear directly from the Lord? Spend some time here. Ask him to show you. That is direct communication. That's direct calling. That spirit sense when God does something in you, that to me is not indirect, that is direct. He is sympathizing with your spirit. He's exciting the chord within you with the chord he plays from his side. The counsel other Jesus followers give you are also direct calls of God to come near. Not that they always are all perfect, right? We have to take that, and that's one of the reasons why the Word as that direct call of God needs to be such a part of our lives. Doesn't take much if you're in the Word to know when somebody's barking up the wrong tree, either on purpose, because sometimes people do that to deceive us, or somebody just got something wrong. That's, by the way, why we need each other. So together we can figure out what's right. Matter of fact, God spoke directly on Thursday. I shared that with Karen this morning. You've heard this from me before, but I was working on my message, and sometimes I look at the music schedule, and sometimes I'm thinking of a song. I ask Karen if we can do another one, and she's always gracious to do that. And I got to the end. I'm getting ready to put my stuff in the computer so you can see it up on the screen, and I look at the music thing, and I went out to Diana, and I said, "Do you see what Karen picked? She, Come all ye faithful. God spoke that this was come near. This was the Sunday. This was the day to talk about this. That's direct communication. And I just want to say, since God so carefully lined up this theme today, pay attention to what you need to bring near. Don't be limited by any descriptions or boundaries I give you. You listen to the Spirit and come with anything. And indirectly be. The wise men said in Matthew 2, verse 2, "We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." They worshiped the stars. God used the heavens and something that was not even a part of his call to believe, although in Scripture he warns us that there's a day when all the stars and the sky will be rolled up as a scroll, and the trump will resound. He came to them indirectly in the way that they weren't accurately looking for him. He gave them a sign to follow and find the Christ child. He fights through our thick-headedness. Isn't that good news? He's calling. He's calling to everyone in this room. He's calling to everyone all the time. He calls. He calls with tears. He calls with open arms. He calls. Number 5 in your handout, it's the response to the call as we follow through the story of those who were called to come and witness this miracle. That miracle isn't even a good enough word. It just isn't. God became flesh, and he didn't lose his holiness, and he took our place. Man, that's beyond a miracle. It's beyond fantastic. It's beyond amazing. So first, the shepherds from Luke chapter 2, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. He was lying in the manger. Their response to the call was, "Let's go," and they hurried off. And guess what happened? They found Mary and Joseph and the baby. What if they'd have said, "We've been called to come near. The angel said there's something miraculous, but he was kind of scary. And then all of those that were singing, that's kind of scary. It might get scarier if we get closer. I'm just going to cherish that I heard the call, but I'm not going to do anything." Then they wouldn't have seen Mary and Joseph and the baby. How about the wise guys? From Matthew chapter 2, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. Same thing. The star drew them, and they didn't know what it was all. They knew something great was happening. They had no idea how great or how it was great. And the star that led him that far to King Herod, who tried to deceive them and find out information so he could go and kill the baby that was going to be more famous than him. Pride always is involved in our sin. They went. They just went on their way. If they wouldn't have continued, what if they'd have just said, "Oh man, okay, we don't want to lead him to the child, or we're just going to stay around here. It's starting to be a little dangerous." I believe the star wouldn't have reappeared to them. But because they decided, we're continuing. And then they were overjoyed when they saw the star again and said, "Oh, we're still going in the right direction." And they saw the child. Whatever that context was. So let's just go over this again. God came near as we needed him to come, and he is still that near. God calls us near. He called at the beginning of our separation from him, and he's called all down through these millennia, and will call until there is a final call. We see this call demonstrated in our celebration of Christmas and the Nativity. Called those of us who are close to Jesus, those who are so far away, they don't even know what that word means, that name, or perhaps even against him. And we know he calls directly, and we know he calls indirectly, and we know we need to make a response. So number six, response results. What happened? Not just that they saw what they were called to, but what happened. And here's where we start to kick in our connection and our participation, if you will. A joyful worship happened from both groups, groups far away and groups near. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And the wise men, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Isn't that interesting? The ones close rejoiced in one way and worshipped in one way, but even those far were worshiping things they didn't quite understand. Joyful worship comes when we come near. Why is that? Because when we come near, we get in the proximity of peace. And it's like a gravitational pull. The beauty of God calling to those who are far away is as they get closer, the call can become clearer and the offer of peace becomes more. And that's how we've all found who Jesus is in one way or another. It might not be this fantastic tale of, you know, I was a drunk and I abused people and now I'm a Christian and I love people. It might be more subtle than that, but it's all that same kind of orbit. We're way out from that center. But God calls and pulls us, and as we yield to that call, we come in, and peace starts to even be a reality. Peace in the loss you have suffered. All of us have suffered material loss, relational loss, all sorts of loss. Joyful worship comes from responding to the call of God with anything that needs to be brought near to him, which is everything, which is one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing at Christmas. By the way, the last Sunday, Christmas Eve morning, along with what we're going to do with this tree that I'll talk about in a minute, we're going to just look real quickly at the significance of the gifts offered Jesus as a baby. Their long-standing prophetic significance in all of this. So joyful worship was a result of their coming near, and B, sharing. Sharing. We're called together. The word I have is participation. Luke 2, 17 and 18, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You can't help when once you have started coming near to share what's happening in your own spirit, because when you come near, something moves in you. Because you are made in the image of God, and that kind of comes alive. It's like the spaceship in Independence Day that they had in the bunker all those decades from the 50s, and then when the mother ship came, that spaceship became alive because it came near its source. We get that way. Things happen, and so we spread it. One of the reasons why we're inviting a participation in the way we're doing it this year. So three things that we share, or is it four? It's three. We share truth. There's the sharing of truth. Now, these aren't specific Christmas scriptures, but coming to know who Jesus is leads us to these truths that also lead us to peace. John 16:33 is our first. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. In the NIV, you may have heard it, you will have trouble in this world. The truth of coming to this unique scene for them, but for us in remembering, as well as longing for his return, is that there is where peace is. It is in him. No matter the trouble that will be a part. So we're acknowledging trouble this year in our unvarnished Christmas, as well as acknowledging joy and the reasons for us to have a joyful worship. We're going to share the truth with one another. And in so doing, we help diffuse the power of trouble as we bring it to Christ. We're going to share the burden. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And coming the way we are uniquely coming this year, and I encourage that you're incorporating this in your family and your friendship circle too. We again share the burden and disperse the weight of trouble and pain and sorrow, which is a part of this world. It will be until the next time Jesus comes. And the last, they're kind of related, sharing our journey. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another. There's 59 one another's in the New Testament. Some of them are positive and encouraging, encourage one another. Some are different, warn one another. The thing is, Jesus called us to be together so that when we do all this together, we will have this fellowship, and it's a fellowship of the Spirit and in the Spirit with Jesus, with God the Father, and with one another that allows us to get through the trouble that is part of this world. But it's not just about trouble. I know I'm emphasizing this. It's joy to the world. It's still joy to the world. But we don't want to leave anybody out or anything out as we come. So I've had a couple conversations even this morning for church, some clarifications. So I just want to make sure you know we're not going to play a mournful tune on a Christmas Eve morning. We're going to sing. The choir has a number they're going to do, and we're going to do a set of Christmas songs, and we're going to celebrate, but we are welcoming you to bring everything, because the things you keep from Christ, the things that make you want to stay away at a time when joy is kind of a central theme, can actually keep you from the peace you need. We need to be real about it and say, this hurts, I don't like it, and God, I'm not sure if I like you right now. That's okay. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But that's okay to say when you feel it, because that's how he pulls it out of you and helps you and all of us to see his goodness. So what we're doing on the 24th is decorating this tree. Bring an ornament you already own, which has a significance for you. A great warm story of family or whatever, or one that evokes sadness. Then you want to tell us that part of the story. And the story I'm asking you to share is connected to that. Mine is going to be the tree topper. It's in my office on top of one of my bookshelves, but that has a story, and that's what I'm bringing. And would you let us? I'd like to have the tree on the last Sunday of the month, too, fully decorated. But if you bring in something that you want to take home and have on your tree Christmas morning the next day, I understand if you want to do that. Okay, that's what we're looking for an ornament. And I'm also looking for you to send a Christmas family photo. Chris, if you'd put that photo up there. This is Diana's family when she was a kid. And she was the one on the left and her twin sisters. And she'll share a story. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for. It doesn't have to be of people. It could be of a place or a thing that reminds you of something special and heartwarming or heartbreaking. Because God calls us to come near with everything, and that's where we find peace, by being honest about everything. So, here at the end of today, we're going to go back to the beginning as we remember the call that rings in the air right now, and rings in our spirit, and rings to our neighbors, and God uses us to help clarify, come near. Karen chose this song. I'm going to read one verse. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. O come and behold him, born the King of Angels. And join me on an a cappella singing of the chorus. You don't need the words. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for peace. Thank you for the truth about peace in this world, and that it isn't about a sense and feeling of always happiness. It's about security, knowing that you know all, you see all, and in fact, you have planned all things out so that what this life throws us in the form of trouble, which of course came into this world through human beings, has a protection from you, has a provision from you, has something to teach us, and calls out to us to help us to even rely more upon you, to come even closer, and to discover a deep and abiding trust in your goodness, even when we go through times where we think, this isn't good, and I'm not sure God is good right now. Thank you for being the Father who sees the grieving, troubled, pressured hearts of all the children you created and gave your image. And I pray, Lord, as we continue through this season, that we would spread this truth, that you are here. You have come near as is possible, the near we needed. And when we come to you, we can find peace and we can find purpose. And one day we will find complete, total freedom from trouble in you. So speak to us directly and indirectly this week. May we be available for those around us, both near and far. And Lord, help us to know what we need to bring near to you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.